tech products could soon travel across borders with less baggage. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, in China, what is called Singles Day has drawn to a close. It's a newish celebration that is to single people, what Mother's Day is to mothers. But it's now morphed into the day that people go online to buy things, often with their office computer. China's Alibaba said today that sales broke through $8 billion so far today in an orgy of commerce that, if you do the math, dwarfs America's so-called Black Friday. On Tuesdays, we check in with Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore and Company. Happy Singles Day to you, Julie.
Oh, happy I Love Me Day.
That's what they call it. Now, in the spirit of e-commerce, let's talk about the stock market. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite Indexes are up more than 12% year to date. Some analysts on this program see these trends continuing. But, Julie, you're nervous?
You've got a combination of things here. First of all, we've got scary headlines, doom predictions. Individual investors have been buying pretty conservatively because they're still afraid of 2008. But one reason the stock market is really moving up is because it's concentrated in a very few sectors. You've got Apple, Gilead, Microsoft, Berkshire Hathaway, Johnson & Johnson. You have just a few of the really favorite stocks moving up. It's not the broader market.
And lots of volatility still.
And the volatility is going to become increasingly difficult for two reasons. First of all, liquidity is drying up. Much of the trading volume is coming from high-frequency trading. The other part is coming from exchange-traded funds. They are accounting for a tremendous part of the volume as well. So when you've got half of the trading volume basically kind of artificial trading, everybody else is going to have the product of poor liquidity. So when news comes into the market, you're going to get big swings, which is going to make this a very, very nerve-wracking kind of a market to be in.
All right. Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
It's the first major cut in international tariffs in 17 years, and it affects a range of technology projects and products, I should say, from MRI medical scanners to video games. Stan Alcorn has more on this new agreement between the U.S. and China that could cover $1 trillion in goods.
Back in the 90s, countries in the World Trade Organization cut tariffs to zero for a list of high-tech products. China signed on, too.
It had to.
Wing Wu, professor of economics at UC Davis.
But then the number of high-tech products kind of exploded.
Yesterday's agreement to nearly double this list to more than 200 products, Wu says that's really just to catch up. This approach of freeing trade for one product at a time is the opposite of the way it works for other industries, like, say, fish.
You do not say mackerel is not free trade, but salmon is free trade. All fish is free trade, unless we specify certain fish.
In this case, China is instead agreeing to free trade for specific products like semiconductors. Trade policy expert Gary Huffbauer.
And I think it foreshadows more agreements on other issues between the U.S. and China. It's really a new day.
This agreement goes next to the WTO, where Huffbauer expects something like it to be ratified. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
I have my preference, but you be the judge of the better headline. The scene is New York Mayor Bill de Blasio with his police commissioner, Bill Bratton, announcing that they will only ticket and no longer bust people for up to 25 ounces of marijuana. The New York Daily News labeled the scene Doobie Brothers. The New York Post went with Joint Chiefs. The Ziploc bag they held up to illustrate 25 ounces was actually filled with oregano, they said. AM Paris time on the 11th day of the 11th month, the First World War came to an end. It is Veterans Day in the U.S., and this summer marked 100 years since the outbreak of hostilities that became what was then called the Great War. To commemorate Britain's war dead, an artist has staged a powerful installation at the Tower of London. It's become really popular and lucrative for veterans' charities. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
This is a breathtaking sight. The empty moat around the Tower of London now runs red with a carpet of handmade ceramic poppies. 888,246 of them have been hammered into the ground. One poppy for each of the British and colonial soldiers killed in the Great War. So far, more than 4 million visitors have come to shuffle past this unforgettable image of remembrance.
the fact that every one of these represents a death in the war begins to give some sense of the enormity of the loss.
Well, it's just an amazing way to commemorate the 100 years of the war. It's fantastic.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's stunning.
Very, very moving. Extremely moving.
The memorial has had such an impact on Britons that there have been calls to turn it into a permanent display. But Nigel Hines, one of the organisers, says there's a problem with that.
Each of the poppies has been sold, and all the income from that has been donated to a range of charities.
The sale of these ceramic poppies has raised around $25 million to help today's veterans and their families. Tomorrow, the long process of dismantling the display will begin. A small selection of the poppies will stay in the moat until the end of the month and then tour the country. But the rest will be shipped off to the people who've bought them, mostly families of the war dead. The artist who created the display is ceramicist Paul Cummins.
These people died for what they believed in, and the people who have bought them have a relatives or direct connection to them. So it completes the circle. They go home.
Every day at dusk on the edge of the moat, an army bugler plays the last post commemorating the fallen. The poppies have to go, says Cummins, not only to raise money for charity, but also to symbolise transience. At the Tower of London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.